So picture that God has this checklist. See, he knows exactly where he's going to bring you. This is to clean up from yesterday. Not to clean up, to pick up where I left off. And then I'm going to get on the whole new topic here. Don't worry. So he's got this place he's going to bring you. And it's signed, sealed, everything but delivered. And now he has to arrange things in your life to prepare you. You know, to sand you, get the rough edges off, get you trained in the specialty that you're going to be doing. So he has a checklist. Born in Texas, check. Mom is great, dad's a jerk, check. He needs that. He needs your dad to be a jerk just to get you trained for your job, whatever it is. But goes to a great school, check. Dad makes a good living, check. Fall down the steps at age 3, check. That has to happen. So God has a giant checklist. Everything has happened to you. Everything that happens to you has to happen. Like bang head on cupboard door. Check. Everything happens to you today is checked off a list that God has. It's a long list. It's every detail of your life. Blue eyes. Check. Yep. Big nose. Check. So that should comfort you. And I talked about King David. You know, I said that in order to train him to be the king of Israel, he was a shepherd first. He learned how to take care of sheep. Then, you remember, he was like the government in exile, the caves of Abdullah. And he had his mighty men there, and they were a rogue entity. They were a shadow government, only a good shadow government. God was preparing them in a cave for his kingship over Israel. And what was that except a preparation for his big time kingship during the millennium, when he's going to sit on a throne in Jerusalem? And it all led to that. Shepherd boy in Israel, check. Shadow government in the caves, check. Running from the current king of Israel, Saul, check. Lusting after naked woman taking bath, who is wife of another man, check. All these, even the terrible things. It's the interplay, ladies and gentlemen, of good and evil. That's what it is. Now, 1 Corinthians 1. Paul divides humanity here into three groups. Technically speaking, you could divide humanity into two groups. Believers and unbelievers. There ain't nobody else. That's it. There's either believers or there's unbelievers in Jesus Christ. Now, you could divide the believers into two groups. I'm going to do that. I can divide the believers into two groups and the unbelievers into two groups. Now, when I'm talking about a believer, I'm not talking about somebody who believes in Hinduism, Buddhism, or Islam. I'm not talking about somebody, you know, who believes they're from Mars. I know people like that. No. Talking about aeonian life, belief that belongs to salvation, legitimate belief in Jesus Christ, God-given faith. You can divide believers into two groups, the circumcision and the uncircumcision. That's it. Some people disagree with me. If you can believe this, they say you can't believe in the circumcision gospel today. It's a whole other topic. I've taught on that. Yes, you certainly can believe in the circumcision gospel. But Martin, I'm not an Israelite. How can I? There were other non-Israelites who believed in the circumcision gospel. There was Cornelius, Acts chapter 12, I believe. There was the Ethiopian eunuch, Acts chapter 7, I believe, or 8, somewhere in there. Read the whole book of Acts. You'll find both guys. And they're non-Israelites, but they still believe in the Israel message. They will be second-class citizens in the kingdom. Nevertheless, that's what they want. God gives them an antenna for that message. That's what they get. Now, there are two kinds. Those are two kinds of believers. Now, the two kinds of unbelievers, remember, are Jews and Greeks. That is the religious person. This is a shock. This is the shock. There are the religious unbelievers and worldly unbelievers. This is the shock. People think automatically, especially in Christianity, that if you're in Christianity, if you're naming the name of Christ, if you have a metal fish applique on your car, then you are automatically a believer. That is so false. And Paul does away with that idea. I've been teaching against that since 1996, and I've been taking heat for it since 1996, 22 years now. But more and more people are coming to see the sense of this. They're coming to say, Zender, you are right. In fact, one guy said, Zender, I thought you were crazy when you said that there were maybe only 500 believers in the body of Christ alive on the planet today. He goes, but now I think you've overshot it. I think it's less than that. This is why. This is part of the reason. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul says, for since in fact in the wisdom, I'm in verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 1. For since in fact in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom knew not God. God delights through the stupidity of the heralding, this is the cross of Christ, to save those who are believing. Since, in fact, Jews, signs are requesting, Greeks, wisdom are seeking, yet we are heralding Christ crucified. So there's Jews, there's Greeks, and then there's we. Watch, it keeps going. We are heralding Christ crucified. To Jews, indeed, a snare. That word is coming up again here. I mentioned it back in Philippians, the snare of the cross. It's a trip. They trip over it. The Jews, it's a snare because it's too simple. Remember that? Yet to the nations, that is to the Greeks. You see how you see how Paul's turning Greeks into nations? That's why it's the same thing. Greeks equals nations, Jews equals the religious person. So to the Jews, the cross is a snare, yet to the nation's stupidity, yet to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Yet to those who are called. So there are religious unbelievers. Paul calls them Jews, but they include all religious unbelievers. As I told you before, there are worldly unbelievers. And you have to, in order to see that a religious person is an unbeliever, you have to see that Paul steps out of both of these categories. There's the Jew, and we all know how religious they are. There's the Greek, we all know how smart they think they are. And then there's those of us who are believing. Those who are called. That's it. That's what I was looking for. Those who are called. Jews, Greeks, those who are called. Three groups. You could say two, believers and unbelievers. You could say two. And I like this because Paul separates humanity in another place also into two main groups. Like he's, remember, he says, what fellowship does a believer have with an unbeliever? There you go. That's in, what, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. What fellowship has a believer with an unbeliever? Do not become diversely yoked with unbelievers. What partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? He's separating things into two. That's it. I like it. It's so simple. What communion has light with darkness? What agreement does Christ have with Belial? Belial means disintegrator. It might be another term for Satan. I don't know for sure. It might be another evil spirit named Belial, but it's the opposite of Christ. Paul's like, boom, 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 boom. There's this and there's that. There's two things. Believer, unbeliever, light, darkness. He's not dividing people into gender, into their race, into their political persuasion. This is why this is so simple, and I like it so much. We go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 now. Jews and Greeks. And yet, out of those masses of humanity, and let's say 49.999% of the world are religious people. They're joined religions. And it doesn't matter which religion. It could be Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, and even Christianity. Yes, Christianity is a religion. The result is you still need a third category because you're still a Jew, quote. You're still a Jew. You're still not saved. I'm going to show you that in Philippians 1 if I have time here today. Philippians 1 is great. I haven't really gone there for you that often. So Paul has to come out of Jews and Greeks to find this amazing third category. So it could be, let's just say for the sake of argument, 49.999% of the people on this planet. I'm talking about on the planet Earth. There's no other group. Believers and unbelievers. There's nobody else. if you want to make it a third group. There is nobody else. That's not right. There is somebody out there. Those who are called. See, it's just such a small group. I keep forgetting to say it. It's such a tiny, tiny thread. It's like a thread being dropped in the ocean. It's just so weird. To the left of us. You ever heard that song? Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. I got clowns to the left of me. I got religious people to the left of me. They're clowns. They're Catholics, they're Baptists, they're Pentecostals. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. I got the worldly people over here, the Greeks. They're so smart. Oh, they live in New York, or they live in L.A. They're the elite. They're the ones who walk into a modern art museum, and they look at a pile of garbage, and they go, oh, isn't that erudite? And they're just ridiculous. They're snobs. They're stuck up. They think they're better than anybody else. Clowns to the left of me, those are jokers. Jokers to the right. But here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Those who are called. We who are called. We're the third group. Humanity is three groups, not two. I kept saying two. Those are the two major groups. So if you have 49.999% religious people, 49.999% worldly people, snobs, clowns and jokers, you have 0.00, if I get the math right, 0.001, or is it 0001? One of those two, 001. This tiny sliver, we who are believing it. We're the ones heralding the cross. Yet to the clowns, it's stupidity. To the clowns, it's a snare. It's too simple. To the jokers, it's stupidity. Gee, we refuse to follow a man who died on the cross. It's too simple. That's too stupid. For them, it's too simple. For the clowns, it's too simple. We're the jokers. Yeah, yeah. What is it to you? Too stupid. Because you're so smart. God's going to trap the wise in their own wisdom. And he's going to trap the religious people. He already has. The religious people are tripping and being trapped all over the place. They're tripping over themselves, trying to do things for Jesus. And those are the clowns, the jokers. They're just shaking their heads at a naked man on a cross. Because to the Jews, cross is a snare. To the nations, stupidity. Yet to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, and there are some called out of the Jews, out of the clowns, and out of the Greeks, out of the jokers, and some are called into the body of Christ. Yes, they are. Some might be called into the circumcision evangel, but it's still a sliver. It's still a sliver. The body of Christ is like a dissected thread. Okay, I think you have more people glomming on to the circumcision evangel. That's just me. We can talk about that more later, and we will. This is amazing. I'm going to read the rest of this passage. I'm going to have to get to Philippians chapter 1 tomorrow, but I will. It's great. It goes along right with this. It's another shocker, but it will prove to you that there is such a thing as religious unbelievers, and their end is the same end as the worldly unbelievers. The only difference between a worldly unbeliever and a religious unbeliever is that the worldly unbeliever has the decency to be honest about it. The worldly unbeliever has the decency to not slap a layer of whitewash on it. He's not a bullshitter, you see. But the religious unbeliever does all those things. Hypocrite, whitewash, it's trickery. I believe it's trickery, and I believe I'll stay with that. And I believe tomorrow I'm going to finish off in 1 Corinthians 1, because the rest of this passage is amazing, and then we're going to go to Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to give you stuff that you've probably never seen before.